Our next speaker is Thomas Wellen. He practices in a broad range of real estate transactions and commercial litigation, emphasizing landlord-tenant, lender liability, brokerage, and other real estate matters. And I'm going to turn it over to Tom.
Do you have a... I don't.
Good.
I used to, but I don't anymore. My talk today in the paper that I finished this morning is on mitigating the risks of insolvency in the context of mortgage lending to property, real property that is collateralized with leases. And I want to say a few words about my approach to the topics that are discussed. Insolvency is kind of where the rubber meets the road in terms of the fact that many of the contractual promises that landlords make to their tenants, tenants make to their landlords, fall apart because the money that would compensate the other party for the breach is just not there. So it's important in this context to look for alternative remedies that work or at least mitigate the downsides when there's no money there to fix the problem. So another thing that I think about is when I look at leases, and I've looked at a lot of leases in my day, I see a lot of provisions that I know from a bunch of old cases have been around since limited liability was granted to chartered corporations and was very few and far between. A lot of those clauses are very familiar, but they're not always fit for the world in which we now live, which is a limited liability world. So if you can't chase somebody to their grave or to bankruptcy, you have to figure out a way to have a remedy that's meaningful when you can't go after the SPE that has just been foreclosed on and doesn't have anything anymore. You can't squeeze blood out of the failed bank that isn't funding the loan. You can't squeeze blood from the tenant who is in bankruptcy. So you have to look for ways in the lease and in the loan documents to make sure that the remedies that you're hoping to achieve are really available to you. When I look at a lease or leases, I know that there's a lender to the landlord in most cases. So the lease has to function as both a contract between the landlord and the tenant for the use of the property, and it has to function so that the landlord can get the money to buy the property, maybe even borrow the money to keep it up, maybe borrow the money that it's promising me to do the TI. It has to function as collateral as well. So there's a dual purpose to almost every lease because it's collateral for the landlord's loan. Those are just kind of the big pictures, so that sometimes I see people arguing about things that they think are great for a landlord, great for a tenant, and are going to screw, and you know, are going to screw up the deal for the landlord's lender. And it's better to anticipate those kind of issues and try to accommodate the respective interests so that the project can actually work, the lease can get signed, and as long as everybody has the money, can be perform as agreed. But then if something goes bad, you're not left holding a completely empty bag. So there are three problems, and in insolvency is the point when all these issues, you know, come to a head. So there's three topics or three subject matters in most leases where the insolvency of the landlord, the tenant, or either of their bankers comes to the fore. Security deposits, letters of credit given in lieu of security deposits, in funding and completing TI obligations if the landlord defaults on its loan or the landlord's lender goes belly up.